Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell here, and Bruce Pratt joining us remotely from his, we'll call it his studio. Actually, where are you, Bruce?
I am in my office looking looking out at this around the farm, and I have my computer at my desk and up here on the second floor, and I'm just hiding out.
Yeah, well, like all of us here. By the way, we're pretty cool. The other day, I saw you were comparing gardening notes and photos with Ann Tobolowsky, Stephen's wife.
Yes, she has been posting these beautiful pictures of the salads and the things from her garden. So when we got the 8 inches of snow the other day, I decided I'd show her what mine looked like. But that's been an ongoing thing. I show her a picture in the winter and a picture in the summer every year.
And they are such great people.
Oh, Lord, I tell you, Rich, I of all the people that have been in the studio, there's an extra magic with those two. And I remember sitting next to Ann the night after the show and saying it was as if I was talking with someone I'd known my whole life. Mm. And Janet said the same thing. I said, gee, I'm really sorry they don't live here. You know,
yeah.
Just like to hang out with them.
Absolutely. Just absolutely great people. Well, anyway, we've got a book to talk about, and you teased it a little bit last week. I'm very curious to hear more about Pitching in the Promised Land.
Well, this book took me by surprise in a lot of ways. One, I had no idea, obviously, there ever had been a one-year-only Israel baseball league, which was probably, you know, a step below most of the independent leagues in the U.S., and there were a lot of there were Dominicans who were in their 40s claiming to be 30. There were, you know, people playing the game who were just hanging on. There were people from Australia. They tried to get some local Israelis, and there were some on every team. But when the season began, there were 1.5 fields in the entire country. The only real celebrity to throw out a first pitch was Dr. Ruth, which is in itself hysterical.
I love that.
The author, Aaron Pribble, is a high school history teacher out in California, and he had played in Texas, in one of the minor leagues in Texas, a pitcher. As he said, he couldn't overwhelm you with his 85-mile-an-hour fastball, so he was primarily a sinker, slider, change-up guy, but a good all-around athlete, and he wanted one more chance. But also, his mother was Jewish and his father was not, and he wanted to go see if his political feelings, which were, I would say, for the most part, to the left of many people in Israel, would be borne out. And one of the things he really wanted to do was go to the West Bank, and he did do that. He went to Ramallah, much against the advice of a lot of people, and so he has this personal journey through this. While at the same time, he's trying to pitch and do well. He was one of the best pitchers, and play under these incredible circumstances where the dugouts were tarps and the benches were plastic chairs. There were not enough balls. There were places where there was a light post in the outfield in right field in one stadium. And in another stadium, a rabbi didn't like how far the right field extended, so he was able to tell them that they couldn't extend it there. And so they had a short porch of, like, shorter than the old polo grounds, 250 feet out or something. But the year was 2007, so that was a year where there was still the kind of intermittent violence that we know happens in the Middle East. It had toned down some, and that was another reason why he wanted to go. But I thought the best way to sort of summarize this was to read this, which comes from later in the book. And he says, how did the IBL mirror Israel as a nation? Now, that's the Israel Baseball League. They used to call it the Israel Bush League. It seemed that both had superimposed a pragmatic reality on top of somewhat conflicted origins. Despite those who denied Israel's right to exist, who actively fought against it, and apart from normative arguments on either side, the state had remained through myriad wars and conflicts. It had found a way to persevere. In similar fashion, in spite of many early difficulties, the IBL had endured. There were 1.5 fields to begin the season, with 6 teams attempting to play 6 games a week. The vast majority of Israelis had never heard of the game of baseball. There was nearly a strike. A player almost died. Our TV contract was canceled. There was a dearth of bats and balls. The league almost ran out of money. No, the league ran out of money. And so it was all those things that went wrong. It's still a remarkable look at the way that the game of baseball, it gets in people and it doesn't leave them. And I think more so than any sport. You know, it's always seemed to me it was harder for baseball players to hang it up than just about anybody else. And what Pribble, I think, would say, and it's a really, really well-written book. I mean, he really is a good writer, is that these people wanted one more chance. They wanted one more chance to play, but they wanted it to be something that counted. And that's what you get from this book. It's a really extraordinary look at what makes people tick. I mean, these Dominicans were playing because they needed the money. And they were not getting paid much, and there were weeks when they didn't get paid, but that was still better. They had almost the same thing to eat every day, chicken schnitzel and hummus, and they would go to literally across the street from where they lived in this dorm where the players lived. They would go across the street to a large convenience store and hang out, and they could find other food there, sometimes even better than what they could get in the cafeteria. And it's a really – you read it and you think, why didn't they just go home? You know, because they wanted to be part of this and they wanted to see it through. And the friendships which are formed through these various teams and among their teammates is really remarkable. There's a small story of an almost successful romance in the book, which is kind of interesting. But just the whole I was in Israel in 1969. In the summer, I was in Tel Aviv, and I was in Jerusalem. I didn't travel a whole lot outside of Jerusalem. And it's a stunning landscape. But the thought of being there in summer with day after day of scorching heat, playing baseball in those conditions doesn't sound fun to me. But when I read the book, I thought to myself, gosh, I wish I'd been part of that.
Well, I bet. Yeah, it sounds like a terrific read.
It really is, and one of the things I think that people who like the show and like to listen to these, like the kind of books that we talk about, you know, there are a lot of great photographs in here, and it's about baseball, and you get in the it follows the season in a chronological way, but you never are far from the fact that it's a place of intractable conflicts. You know, it. We always hear how they're going to restart peace talks, how there's going to be an Arab and a Palestinian agreement. And, you know, it certainly doesn't seem to be on the horizon, but it's a story about how both Palestinians and Israelis cope with this. And it's a look at it at a human level, not a political level. I mean, the politics of the situation are clear, and Aaron Pribble understands what they are. He's a real bright guy. He's graduated from the University of Hawaii, and he played in the Western Central Baseball Leagues and in France. So he has an international idea about the way baseball works. But for him, I think he needed to see this firsthand. He needed to see this place and understand this conflict and see where where baseball would fit in all of it. And baseball just didn't survive because the people that started the league really didn't know what they're doing. But I think it probably made a big difference in a lot of young kids' lives because they did start playing baseball in Israel as a result of this.
And the author again is?
Aaron Pribble, P-R-I-B-B-L-E. It's from University of Nebraska Press. It's a 2011 publication. I had misspoken the other week when I was on that it was new. I had gotten two books at the same time. The one we're going to talk about next week, Isabel Lefty Alvarez, The Improbable Life of a Cuban-American Baseball Star, a woman who played in the Women's Professional League, chronicled in a league of their own. And that's a brand new book. This one is from 2011. But we'll be doing baseball the next couple of weeks.
Excellent. And Carrie and I were talking. We think we may be able to, thanks to Skype, do some interviews with authors with you on Skype. Like, that could work for us.
Yeah, that's why now that I've got the Skype and I figured out how to make it work and gave Kerry the right telephone number, I'm going to start reaching out to some of them. Pribble's one, I think, since we probably get him, because I don't imagine they're having school in San Francisco area. He takes Tamaulipas in Mill Valley, so I don't think they're probably having school. He might be available. I'm going to check on some of the other books that we've talked about recently, and I'm really cool. A really cool book we just got that just came in, and of course it's in the stack on my desk, is called Summer Baseball Nation, 9 Days in the Wood Bat Leagues by Will Gagan.
Oh, man, that sounds great.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. He goes to the Cape Cod League and all these wooden bat leagues, and we get a look at baseball, you know, in a way that I think will be fun. I always love minor league baseball, and I would wish we had a team.